Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies to TV shows that we're so obsessed with right now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
I'm Jordana. It is Aileen's birth week, so she is on vacay. Happy, very happy for her. Very jealous of her.
We're going to miss
the two of us. We are. I already do. Even though, I mean, it's a virtual recording, so I'm not really even seeing you in person either.
We will be back in the studio next week, all three of us reunited. Everyone's vacations are over for at least a few weeks.
Yes. Do you have any trips coming up?
No, but Avi and I are maybe planning a last minute birthday trip for me to Seville, possibly.
Oh, that's fun. Back where you studied abroad.
Exactly.
Samia, or what is your hilarious alter ego? Samantha? What is the Spanish Samantha?
I don't think there is one. Like, I think it's a very like Americanized name. What would be the Spanish
Samita? I'm just going to call you Samita.
Even Samuela? My grandmother used to call me Samuela.
Okay, we'll try that.
I mean, that's like not really either. I don't really have one. Like, I never really – either way. So we're thinking of that. Then I was thinking, like, well, maybe we should go to Morocco because we've been wanting to go there for a while. Okay. But it's like a much more expensive trip. So
– is it?
You know, the hotels are more expensive. Okay. And like, we were just trying to keep this a little low-key. You know, okay. This was supposed to be like a quick last minute, you know,
the Seville trip, you're saying?
The Seville trip, yeah.
Okay. Oh, but, so this was going to be like on that same trip.
No. It was going to be Seville. And then I was like, wait, maybe we should go to Morocco. We've been talking about that for years. And then I like looked into the hotels and they were just like so much more expensive. So I was like, maybe we should just go back to the casual original plan. So maybe I have something planned. I don't really know yet. But that would be, you know, I would miss a recording if we do end up going.
I thought you were doing like murder mystery party, dinner party for your birthday.
So I was going to do that, but then I think we should do that for something else. Instead, I think I want to do like a big summer housewarming party with like everybody. And then eventually do like a more intimate murder mystery with like our friends, because you need buy-in, you know, you need buy-in on the murderers. Like, you can't just kind of have it be a free-for-all where, like, people are dragged there and they're not into it and they're trying to get out of it. It has to be, like, a, you know, it can't be, like, something that's people are doing because they feel bad for the birthday girl.
You know? Right. I know. I get it. I think summer party is great. You have an amazing backyard. I think that's going to be your big event.
Thank you. We're also having the Betches summer party at my house.
We are. Is that public knowledge to the Betches staff yet?
I guess it is now.
Well, if you didn't know, now you know. It's going to be more details to come.
More details to come.
Intimate, intimate murder mystery.
Yeah. Right now, I'm like oscillating between obsessing over Vanderpump Rules and Silicon Valley Bank. And those are just two very different topics that I'm very, like, I literally go from like obsessively reading about one to obsessively reading about the other. And it's just a very different energy that, you know.
You know, that's what I love about Betches, because like I think we can vacillate between low and high brow.
We contain multitudes.
Yes.
In fact, the New York Times once did say that about us, that we
quite accurate.
I would say our best quality, maybe.
Even. Right. But I mean, do you have any thoughts to share with the listeners about either of these things? I saw Ariana just released her first statement. To me, it was not that interesting, but I guess good that she said something, but like also it didn't really matter to me that much.
It was a gracious statement. There was like nothing gossipy about it. Glad that she seems like she's doing okay. She has good support. Thrilled about that. Silicon Valley Bank, I have nothing to really get into on this podcast, but with Vanderpump, they're trying – something that's kind of eating at me this morning is that I feel like they're trying to establish that the affair started like after Lake Havasu, or just that it started later than it did. where they were last night on the episode.
Oh, I thought they were in Vegas.
They were, and then they went to Lake Havasu. I was confused.
I missed that part. I knew they were in a car, but that was like, why are they in a car during the day? And I guess I missed where they said they were going somewhere else because I just thought the whole thing was in Vegas.
Remember Raquel was like, Lake Havasu was Girls Gone Wild.
No, I was like not pay. I was like watching, but I was, you know what I mean, when you're watching and you know, and you're following the story arc, but you're not like so intent. Like I'm still on my phone. I do miss various things.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm not watching, like I was last night with my eyes like peeled open. yeah, usually that does happen. I mean, I definitely wasn't like, oh, like I totally understand their schedule. Cause that also sort of like falls into the background, like where they are, when.
Right.
But so it just seemed, Raquel and Charlie left Lake Havasu to go hang out with the boys. Mm-hmm. On a few podcasts, people have been saying, like the Vanderpump crew, not the ones who are filming, the ones who are like friends with them, Kristen and this girl, Jamie, who has her own podcast, who's their friend. I'm really deep in this. They basically are trying to establish that the affair started like right after this episode was filmed. But I don't believe that. I think they keep trying to like post-date the affair as being much later than it was. And I just simply do not believe that there was not something emotional going on since at least since they broke off the – Raquel broke off her engagement.
Do you think there's a chance that he is the reason she did break off the engagement?
I believe 60% that is the case, with 60% okay. confidence. And even if it's not that they had like kissed – or that they had actually crossed a line that anybody could identify. I think that
there was a tension.
There was a tension, and not necessarily that I felt like she had Sandoval like definitely in the wings, but I believe that she felt safe enough that she could have Sandoval in the wings to leave her relationship. And if you watch like his reactions during the reunion, it's very different than how all the other cast members are reacting to it. And I wonder if like him being really involved in her engagement itself didn't kind of like get the ball rolling.
He got so overtaken by the love story that he needed it for himself. I did notice in his confessionals, he's wearing that stupid fucking lightning necklace.
I know. I mean, that's just him. I think it was more like she was adopting his lightning identity, or like right. He got it for her. But I don't like when people try to like post-date the situation to when it feels safe, because they want to almost make it like last night she was not wrong and that Lala was bullying her. But it's like she knew what she was doing in her own head.
Right. Well, here's the thing about last night's episode, or just generally with Raquel. It's like obviously she did a horrible, horrible thing and like deserves a lot of public backlash and people are being angry. There is a part of me that does feel kind of bad for her, just because she seems like a complete mess and like kind of very insecure. And like, I do think she had a very verbal, I mean, James Kennedy, I don't think anyone talks about this enough. I guess it's sort of just like swept under the rug a little bit. I mean, I'm sure people on Reddit or other people do. Maybe it's not what I'm seeing just in the general headlines or anything. But James Kennedy is like one of the most verbally abusive people I've ever seen on television. Like everything he says is like abusive and toxic and really mean and extremely below the belt. And when she was talking about that story where he was like yelling at her dad and then talking in the car ride home about how his dad is upset because her mom is fat and like and he's just mad because he doesn't want to be here and her mom is a bitch. I'm like, engaged to someone like that, being with like someone like that for 5 years, like that really, I think, does a number on you mentally. And I'm sure she had some previous issues that allowed her to even be able to get into a relationship with someone like that. But there was a moment where I was like, again, not saying anything she did is okay, not thinking like anything's fine, but I just do feel like she's clearly like very fucked up.
So I actually had a similar sentiment. I texted to someone. I basically had thought that exact same thing, which is like, if you told me that in 5 years, Raquel is going to work through all this stuff and, you know, find herself and like get a piece of like self-concept, I feel like I could look back on this and be like, she really just didn't know who she was. She messed up. She was in a really tough relationship. She was on TV where this was encouraged. Mm-hmm. Her whole like moral center that maybe she never even had developed in the first place was really off. So if you told me like, okay, she goes from this and like turns over a new leaf and really, really seems to regret what she did here, I could look at this and be like, big mistake while she was young. I get it. Like, I understand why she did that. But I really feel that it is more in how she like moves forward with it that determines whether it's like who she is or something she just did because she was young and stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I guess time will tell. We'll see how she reacts to this. We'll see how she comes out of this. But, and again, I don't think any of those things that we just said excuse this. I'm not saying like it's okay because. I just it's very clear from watching her and from seeing not even really her, but just James, which again, I don't really see why everyone lets him kind of like brushes the fact that he says all these terrible things.
Really brush that. Like,
I don't know. Right, he does now, it all the time.
But I think right now, I think that people would be speaking differently about the whole thing if we didn't know about the scandal of it all because,
right.
Like, what's her name? Raquel? I think that if we didn't know about this, we would have seen this episode as Lala bullying Raquel and being hypocritical because she literally had, like, slept with James. But because you know what's going on in Raquel's own head and the fact that she's, like, waving the fact that she wants to hook up with Schwartz in front of Katie for – no reason. It just seems so mean that she can't hold any high ground because like you're still doing this thing with Katie and Schwartz.
Well, here's the thing. If you think about like seeing her on this show and seeing her when she was on Watch What Happens Live right before it all broke, it's like she's a little too like confident.
Pageant trained.
No, because she wasn't really like that with James. It was almost something that it felt like because maybe she was like feeling herself in this secret affair. She's a little like sassier. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, and Katie, like my favorite place to be around Katie is like nowhere near her. I'm like, paraphrase. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. She's like making these digs and like being all set and being all like trying to be almost more Lala-esque, I guess, in that way of like, I'm like, I can bring it. And I think that's also what was kind of annoying about her was like, she seemed like she had almost like was too prideful. And then,
yeah, she doesn't have like, it's, you can see how confused she is as a person with the way that she like presents herself sometimes, where sometimes it's like really weak and meek and her voice is shaky and she's like, I don't know anything. Like, I'm just listening, looking at my galaxy light.
Who is Raquel?
Yeah. I don't know who I am anymore. Like, so she's either that or she's like, I'm, you know, thank God you don't have a man. I get she was really drunk during that point. But, and I get that was like such a drunken thing. But the way she was speaking even the night before at the dinner with Katie's mom there, could you imagine like in front of somebody's mother? I don't know. Maybe that was just such a bizarre thing to me.
She seems to lack like a self-awareness and almost just like a general ability to read the room. I think is probably her biggest flaw. Like, she just doesn't have a sense of like, this isn't like, I can understand her kind of having that little speech or saying that thing in front of an audience that made more sense for that. But you're kind of like, she just must lack a sense of like, okay, in this context, I'm not going to go there.
Right. Like in front of her mother while they're still married. I don't know. I did feel kind of bad for Katie because Sheena kept being like, she has no friends. It's like, A, her friends were fired. Lala's sober and Christina Kelly was pregnant. So like on her divorce party where everybody left, Katie was like the only one drinking. And right. Sheena was obviously like mean about that. But I don't know, whatever.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches. So quickly on the Oscars, I watched the whole thing. It was very boring. A few nice speeches. The thing about the Oscars is you have to watch like 4 hours of footage for like 5 minutes of really good content.
But there isn't always even 5 minutes of really good content.
Last year I missed the slap because I had just returned from my honeymoon and I was jet lagged and I fell asleep. And this year I was like, I'm not missing the big thing this year. And nothing happened, obviously, except for my true love, Brendan Fraser, winning the Oscar. And I was really, you know, he's just someone it's so easy to feel happy for.
I agree, because he doesn't like attract the evil eye, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, he doesn't tempt you to hate him in any way.
Yeah, he's just like humble. He's not even like fake. Sometimes people are like fake humble. Like, he just seems like really like happy to be there and like set like a sensitive, nice person.
One of the reasons that he's so like different from, you know, your average Hollywood star is that he actually was like really badly sexually assaulted by somebody very powerful in Hollywood, and that derailed his career, like similarly to how, you know, Harvey Weinstein derailed women's careers if they didn't, you know, like respond to his sexual advances. So I think that that's probably like a really big part of it, is because he said, I remember like we read this article a while ago that he had been very, you know, he had been really traumatized by that.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I mean, I watched The Whale. I bought it. And I would say it wasn't like the best movie of all time, but he was really, really, really good in it. And so I think well deserved, even though the movie was obviously was far from the best movie, but it didn't win that. So it doesn't really matter. But good dialogue, worth a watch when it comes out on a streaming service, I would say. I don't know if like if you're not a diehard Brendan Fraser fan, if you need to buy it, but it's a good watch.
I mean, it just seems really depressing to me. And I've been sort of doing this thing where I don't really want to consume depressing content in my leisure time.
You know, I feel the opposite. It's so weird. I'm not like, but sometimes I'm like watching a comedy and I'm like, I need something deeper. Like,
oh, I don't mean that it has to be like, it doesn't have to be shallow, but there's certain things that just really give me a feeling, a pit of hopelessness The Last of Us being one example.
Okay.
The things I've heard about The Whale, I already know what the ending is. I can't deal with that pit of hopelessness. Too depressing. Not even because of like the fatness not
that
thing.
I would say it's not. I mean, people say it's depressing. I didn't find it to be that depressing. Personally,
even reading like a short synopsis of it, I felt it was very depressing. So I'm like, no to that. Things that are gory and gross, you know, I can't do.
I really want to break down The Last of Us, the last episode, but you don't
should
watch
do it.
It
next week. You and Aileen.
Yeah, I'm saying with Aileen. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll discuss. But I know Succession. Your big HBO moment is coming out very soon. And while I am a watcher of Succession, if you've heard this show in the past over previous seasons, I am not nearly anywhere as into it. I like it. I think it's good. Sam and Aileen are like borderline obsessed with it. And so, Sammy, would you like to let all the other Succession fanatics know what they can expect from the two of you?
Yeah, we have some really exciting news. Aileen is not here to announce it, but she is, I can tell you, she is equally as excited. We are recapping Succession. We're doing special Succession recap drops. They will come into the Betches feed on Mondays throughout the season. We're starting next week, actually. We're going to kind of like do a catch up, do an update on everything that's happened so far. And we have a lot of really fun things planned for the show, really fun segments. And I am like incredibly excited for this. I love to recap a show that is not gory, not too depressing, and depicts rich people behaving badly, usually.
That is, you and Aileen love rich people behaving badly.
There's nothing like it.
That's a passion for the two of you. I'm much more like, that's why I think we've talked about this before. Like, you
poor
guys are
people
much
behaving
more like,
sadly.
Yes, you are much more like The Whale. You're much more into like Kardashians.
No, like I don't like the Kardashians.
But I'm saying like that kind of show where it's like you're watching like the lifestyles of the rich and like questionably moral. And I was much more into like TLC, totally. Watching like people who are kind of like lost causes.
On the not great side of the tracks, one might say.
Yeah.
But have been dealt a difficult hand, one might say.
That's a much better way of putting it. I retract my statement of calling them that. People who are having a harder time in life, generally.
But here's the thing. I don't just like all rich people behaving badly. Like, I don't find just like flaunting for the sake of flaunting to be interesting. Like Erica Jane showing her closet, I don't care about that. But my real favorite genre is the like social satire with wealthy people, where like the show has, yes, they're depicting very wealthy people, but the show has like a wink and a knowing, or the movie or whatever, that like, that you can kind of, you feel like you're in with it and you're not
glorifying. You like a parody.
I like that, but not in a way that's glorifying it. I don't like the Kardashians as much because they're glorifying.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you want like a parody of that lifestyle more than you want like just.
Like The White Lotus, Succession. Yeah.
Right.
Triangle of Sadness, Parasite, like that's all my kind of genre.
Right. But I'm excited for the show. I will be a listener. I will not be on it. But I will listen when I feel like it, which is the best part about
not doing it.
Doing it, yes. And I'm sure there are many At Betches fans who are going to be very excited to hear it. But let's move on. Oscars, other stuff. I mean, people won. The little kid from the Goonies. I didn't watch Everywhere All at Once, whatever it's called, but that won pretty much every single thing almost that it was nominated for. So I guess that's not my kind of movie at all, but
I actually tried to watch it over the weekend. I watched the trailer, and just like the title would suggest, deeply overwhelming. Because I didn't expect it to be like an action movie. I thought that it was more of like a Garden State, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind type of vibe. But now knowing that it's I mean, I do really want to watch it because so many people have said it's good and I feel like I can really get into it. But it's on its face, the action element of it. I'm like, I don't want to watch The Matrix and like fighting and like.
Yeah. It just does not seem like my vibe at all. But it did win, again, many Oscars. Maybe one day on like a plane. Still probably not.
You're like, I refuse to watch this movie.
I just don't like that kind of like action, whimsical, like
you said,
Matrix. I feel like it seems like it's whimsical from all the clips I've seen.
It just doesn't seem like my thing, but people clearly loved it who saw it.
You know what I do? What I have enjoyed watching people, watching Michelle Yeoh talk about the movie. I actually really like watching her.
I haven't seen any clips of that.
I've seen a few like interviews with her where she talks about like the lesson of the movie, and her talking about it makes me really want to watch it. And then I watch the trailer and I'm like, I don't want to watch the fighting and the action. Like, I just want to watch her talk about the movie.
So why don't you watch like the DVD extras?
You know, that is one thing that we have really lost as a society. Alternate endings. Imagine, remember when we used to have alternate endings?
I don't know if I ever watched this, but you'd have like the people commenting. But HBO at the end of every episode of their shows, what I do that differentiates them is after the credits, they'll have like the people from the show and the directors and everyone like breaking down the episode, which I find to be just enough extra commentary for me, the DVD extras, if you will, in the modern day age.
HBO just knows how to like how to do it right. You know, I rewatched Tar this weekend because I was with someone who hadn't seen it. And I was like, you got to see this.
Did they like it?
Loved. But they were like, I'm really happy that you were here to explain it to me and point out the important parts.
Tar did not win anything. I was not upset about that. We've already discussed Tar, but.
I know.
Not for me.
What
too
did you
high.
Think?
Again, I said nothing made me feel dumber than Tar because I was like, I guess I've been watching too much trash reality TV because I cannot get through two scenes of this.
Tar is deeply confusing. And if you don't, this is what I mean. Like, I watched it with someone and I was like, oh, pay attention to that thing. And she was like, oh, because you told me to pay attention, it made it really good. But like, I don't know if I would have caught those things.
Right.
So.
Oh, one more thing about the Academy Awards is I did hear that Tom Cruise didn't go because he didn't want to. I read something that he didn't want to go because he didn't want to run into Nicole Kidman, which I thought was like very bizarre.
It's like, it's been years. You've never run into each other at an award show?
Right? Maybe he hasn't really been in that much in a bit.
Right. I don't know. That's a little weird considering like they've been in Hollywood together for 15 years. Like he had a whole marriage or in the middle.
Yeah.
So she.
I guess they probably, I mean, I guess they're all probably in contact because they have kids together.
Right, right.
He has kids with both of them. I don't
maybe
know if
they had like
I
a
heard
recent
he doesn't
issue.
He doesn't talk to his kids, right?
I think that's true. Maybe they had a recent problem that he didn't want to run into her, like maybe there had been a flare up.
I need like a whole documentary on Tom Cruise and like his personal life and what the hell, like
we will get one day.
What is his deal? Cuz like I feel like he has two kind of like bizarre ex-marriages with kids, but he doesn't speak to the kids, but they were so public. And like, obviously Scientology stuff.
So people speculate that like, because that Scientology for celebrities is obviously like very different than Scientology for, you know, the average person. They're using the celebrities to get the average people into Scientology to like pay for the, you know, the church. But the celebrities, they actually network them so that they can make them more successful and therefore like more influential. So I think Tom Cruise was sort of the blueprint within the Church of Scientology for how they were going to do this. And what I've read about his marriages is that they were both like formal agreements with like a set-ish time period. And my assumption is that because of how he like arranged these marriages, I have a feeling like the reason he doesn't talk to the kids is because the kids don't want to talk to him because the relationship is bad.
All
and the relationship is bad. I mean, and the relationship is bad because he had his wives like kind of being these like play really fake contractual right. relationships or just like agreements. And again, this is all sort of like speculation.
Yeah.
It's not 100% proven. I've never seen the signed contract, but I think that is like why he's so weird. I think he's one of the, you know how now celebrities kind of like do their own PR and, you mm-hmm. know, in the 90s, it was all very like release a statement to people and like, you know, celebrities could really, really, really send a different image out into the public. I think he was sort of like the person who embodied that in like the 90s because of how different he was in reality. And he was just the most influential star for a while.
Yeah. Well, I hope one day we get a complete documentary because I will watch some things.
It'll happen.
I'm sure there's a lot more going on.
What I really want is a Brad Pitt documentary. I'm actually more interested in that because there have been a few things that have come out about him, like the details of that plane ride.
Yeah.
The details that actually make him seem like such a monster that you know that that's not the only thing that's hidden.
Right. I kind of feel like in the love triangle, I mean, you sent me this article. It was like the love triangle, Brad, Angelina, Jen, like he definitely was like the evil one.
And the winner.
The winner and sort of like, I feel like he had like probably done a lot more messed up things than anyone in that situation. So that's my feeling.
Yeah.
But he's so charming and so attractive and a man. And I feel like he's still escaped with this pretty amazing reputation.
I can just really see Angie playing the long game on this one, depending on how bad he was during their marriage.
Yeah. I wonder what she's like. I would love to see a documentary on her, too.
Why don't we make a list of all the documentaries we want and submit it to the Jews Who Run Hollywood?
We want documentaries on, like, major celebrities of Gen X.
Definitely. Okay.
It's like, is the idea, I think.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
But moving on, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan.
She's going to be a mom. Wow.
I'm very excited for her.
You know, our friend Alexa has been trying to convince me that this is going to be like the decade of Lindsay, that she's going to have a Lohanessence. And I mean, this could be part of it.
I mean, did you see the Netflix movie?
Yeah.
Holiday movie?
So bad. Okay, but at least she's in a movie.
That's true. Maybe, I mean,
like, she showed up to filming. She proved that she can, like, go.
She did.
Think she's not going to start in, like, an Oscar movie or even, like, a Marvel movie.
She used to get those. I don't know.
Yeah, but her reputation was, like, she became uninsurable. Like, she wouldn't show up to filming. She has to prove that she can, like, actually, like, execute a movie or something, I think, they're going to, like, trust me, someone's working on getting her a real role.
The issue is her performance in that movie was, like, not incredible. But it's
I
guess there's not much to work with.
Right. Maybe. It was, like, supposed to be cheesy and Hallmarky.
I'm rooting for her.
Of course, always. Yeah. We made free Lindsay shirts with Sharpies.
Yeah.
12 to 13 years ago.
So wishing Lindsay the best. I wonder what the name will be. Did she say what she's having?
She did not say that. She also didn't say whether it's going to be a surrogate or if she is pregnant. So, you know.
Okay.
We'll find out, I guess.
More on that later.
Yes. You will hear it here second or third, probably.
Yes. Fourth or fifth. Yeah. Incorrectly. Yeah. So let's talk about Gwyneth Paltrow. I didn't really read that much about this. Can you explain what's going on with Gwyneth Paltrow?
So she gave an interview where she basically talked about a lot of her wellness habits, and there was a swift backlash.
Is any of this shocking?
No, I mean, I don't think it's that different than anything she's like said in the past. She just hasn't said it for a minute, I think. Okay. So something she said is that she's like, she loves an IV. One thing she said was she gets an ozone enema, like literally ozone gas as an enema. She talks about her like whole routine. She says she intermittent fasts in the morning. She then has bone broth for lunch. And then she goes into the sauna where she dry brushes for 30 minutes and has a vegetable-heavy dinner. I think she goes in the sauna for 30 minutes. She brushes while she's in there. Maybe not the whole time.
Okay. I was going to say that just like seems excessive.
Itchy.
Even for Gwyneth.
Yeah. I don't think it's so much the dry brushing that she's doing for 30 minutes as much as she's in the sauna for that long. And like she's sweating out her bone broth that she had before. So she seems like she eats nothing.
Here's the thing. That is like her brand to me. If anyone, like, I would find this to just be like, of course. Like, if there's anyone in Hollywood that you would, if someone was like, here's a day in the life of a secret celebrity, who do you think it is? Like, what would you say?
I mean, obviously her, but I don't think they're like mad that she's revealing this secret or that she like had kept it a secret. Or I think people are mad that she is actually stating that this is something she does because it's going to cause people to copy her and say, oh, I want to look like Gwyneth. I want to be as rich and skinny as she is. I want to be as pretty and perfect as she is. And obviously, and people who are young and impressionable really believe.
Do the young people, like, are they really trying to be like Gwyneth, the young people?
That's not the point. Yeah, they are. People are trying to be like Gwyneth. The point is that even if it's not very young people, it's people our age who are having kids and then passing this on to their kids as like a way that you can eat. Like, this is not enough sustenance for a human to live on. And I think that people are upset that she's essentially promoting disordered eating. She doesn't need to say.
She looks a little malnourished to me in the video of her talking about it.
Well, she also wasn't wearing any makeup. That's another thing. Like, I think that is like, you think she looks malnourished, but people who have eating disorders think that she looks like goals. So, and she's saying, actually, this is how I got here. I consume like 300 calories a day and then I sweat them all out.
I guess if someone asked her a question, what do you eat every day?
She's agreeing to these questions.
Okay.
She's agreeing to do this interview.
Right. I see what you're saying. Like, one thing to do it, fine, do it. Everyone thinks you do it anyway. Maybe just like, just be like.
Answer that question. Be like, because the thing is, she can do whatever she wants to her, you know, affect her family, affect her.
It's her life.
But there is.
Eat what you want.
Right. But there is like a responsibility when you're a public figure that you don't say things that are.
But that's also her brand.
Okay,
she, like,
so
sells
her brand
all this shit. Like, she's like, here, I'm living the life of what I sell. This is what I do.
She's selling. You can't sell intermittent fasting. You can't sell vegetables that, like.
A lot of people say they do intermittent fasting.
But the thing is, she's not. It's not about what she's, like, selling. She's saying, do this. That doesn't cost.
Is she saying, do this?
I mean, if she's. People are hearing, oh, I need to do this because she is an idol of mine. It doesn't matter if she's like, this is what I do and you should all do it, or if she's agreeing to answer a question about what she does and then that's what she's saying is her answer. Because she knows she's being interviewed as an example of wellness.
Maybe she believes that that's
a cautionary tale.
Maybe she believes that that is the life that one should lead to have wellness.
People who have eating disorders believe that. And it's not really cool to like put that out there if you have influence. It's irresponsible. Because imagine if you had a kid who won't eat, and right. She's like, well, I just need to be as thin as Gwyneth. And you're looking at her and she's a stick and she can't see that because all she because she has dysmorphia, because she has an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Would you not be like enraged that this very, very successful person who knows better is putting this out there and then with like out any regard for what people receive? It would be one thing if she says, I'm not a good example, I'm messed up. But she's being interviewed on this as a guru, essentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the content that she's on. I have mixed, on the one hand, totally understand what you're saying, totally understand where you're coming from, like not a good thing to promote, dangerous in that it could definitely affect a lot of young people who look at her and think they want to look like her. On the other hand, in a realistic sense, the internet has a lot of people selling crazy shit and having opinions that I don't agree with, that I think are wrong, and that I don't think are the way to be. And they might disagree with me. And I think it, as a parent, neither of us are parents, I think as a parent, part of the parenting is probably teaching kids how to identify things that are, you know, they shouldn't be following. And there's always going to be things like that. So in my opinion, it's just much more helpful as a strategy than to try to eliminate people like Gwyneth Paltrow, who are always going to be out there, than instead to just say, okay, this is like one theory that has dangerous implications. And the beauty of the internet is that anyone can say anything. But also that's why I'm saying there's so many people who are like teaching stuff that is not that, that is much more healthy.
But here's the thing. You can't eliminate Gwyneth Paltrow, but like as the public, we can make her not like make her be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't rethink saying something like that. Because to be honest, if someone, let's say, posted that diet on like a pro Anna board on the internet, that could get moderated out or shut down. What she said and the thing she's saying, there are like spaces on the internet that some platforms ban because of that type of content. And she's not just saying, oh, I'm a random commenter. She's being interviewed and given a platform and saying like, I am the picture of wellness. And she's not saying, I'm the picture of eating. I mean, that's her whole brand. She's not saying I'm the picture of eating disorders, you know, consume at your own risk. She's saying I am wellness and like you and this is what I do. And I agree with you, like free speech, no one should like stop her, but also free consequences. And like, I think she definitely deserves backlash. And like, I would hope
I have no issue with her having backlash. I'm just saying, I think that there's always going to be someone of talking course. About a diet that I'm like, that doesn't sound very healthy. But like, I don't think that again, I think we can all there. I'm happy to have the other people coming out and saying that doesn't sound very healthy. But I also think like at the end of the day, you can only control what we can control.
Totally. But you can like she can, for example, people used to use the N-word. And now it's like you are a pariah if you use the N-word. It's sort of like, you know, social norms and social like
conformity. I think that's different than someone asking you what you eat and you're telling them what you eat.
But she's agreeing to answer the question of what she eats. It's not like it would be one thing if she's like just randomly, you know, it's
I don't know. I mean, I,
she's
we don't
not
know
on
exactly.
a lie detector. Like she didn't have to. All her interview questions are prepped.
I guess so. I mean, again, it's like that's her brand. She's built a whole brand around that. So
yeah,
it doesn't seem like a crazy question if you're the owner of a quote unquote wellness brand.
I agree. It's not a crazy question, but she can choose to be like, I know my
Perhaps
answer to
this isn't
healthy.
Perhaps she truly believes it. Perhaps she truly believes that it is healthy.
People who have eating disorders truly
believe.
But I'm
saying, then she truly believes that. Then she has an eating disorder and she truly believes that. But like, that's what she believes. Someone asked her a question and she's like, yeah, I believe in this. I'm going to answer it the way I think. So I'm kind of like, I don't know.
And then people are going to call her out. And that's what
fine.
I mean,
yeah, I'm fine with people calling her out. I'm just kind of like, I'm not surprised. If I know that she has an extreme wellness thing, which is often mocked and often parodied. And I don't think like anyone has thought that Goop was like a real beacon of like true health, at least for my,
I think people for do. My,
some people do, but those people again are already like seeking out that kind of content, already have some other issues. But to me, there's always been problems with that. And like those have always existed and I'm happy that they exist because it is bullshit. I mean, I've always enjoyed like the breakdown. I think Jezebel used to have this, RIP, like a breakdown of her Christmas list, like her Christmas,
holiday
gift guide. And it was
I remember that.
It was like a $45,000 like something.
Yeah, no, I totally, we used to send those to each other.
Yeah.
I remember that. What about, I mean, we've been focusing so much on the eating disorder question of it all that we didn't eat, like, where does one even get ozone to put up their ass?
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's living in some crazy, like, subset of California world where, like, this kind of thing is, like, a lifestyle and everyone buys into it. It's almost like a cult. It's almost like a wellness cult. And I've listened to some of this stuff. Like, I've listened to David Sinclair, who's, like, all about longevity and all that other stuff. And I listen to that. And sometimes I'm like, that's an interesting idea. And sometimes I'm like, that seems kind of crazy. And, like, you can sort of think about, like, the same thing, the same person saying shit. And sometimes they sound like, that could be, again, that could be interesting. And sometimes you're kind of like, no one's ever, that's crazy. No one should do that.
I mean, here's the thing. I think you are a person who has pretty much like no shades of an eating disorder, like, or disordered eating. Like, we've talked about this, like, you know, openly on Diet Starts Tomorrow. Like, you have a very healthy relationship with food. So you're able to take in that information and feel like, okay, I can filter this and I generally am like confident and content with my body. Society treats me like my body is good enough. And so you have like a very, very like stable take on this. I think that's why you're not giving her, you're not like yelling at her on the internet. The people who are mad are the people who like have a real like mental health problem with this. And I think that's really like where the reaction is. It's not coming from people like you who are able to like filter this and like be objective about it. It's coming from people who like are afraid to eat anything. Right. You know?
No, yeah. And I understand why it would be extremely triggering for those people. I just think like overall, and again, I'm not saying there shouldn't be backlash. I just think overall, like the best we can do as a society, because there's always going to be people spouting crazy shit that's like extreme and insane to me. I'm kind of like, the best thing we can do for ourselves and our children and those around us is to just like teach them how to identify something that's absurd and something that's not. But again, I don't know. I guess there's more on that maybe down the line.
On Diet Starts Tomorrow.
Yes.
I do wonder what Aileen would have had to say on this conversation.
Maybe we'll ask her.
Maybe we should come back to it. I mean, it's all very complicated with, you know.
Yeah. There's not one like absolute, I think, reaction or answer.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Let's get into... So... I guess what I want
another big societal problem.
Another
with
big
parents and their children.
Exactly. I had come across this Teen Vogue article that was basically it was called "Influencer Parents and the Kids Who Had Their Childhoods Made into Content." And the article, the crux of the article, is basically that like all these kids that sort of grew up, like now there's kids who are old enough to have grown up being on social media and are sort of entering adulthood or like their teenage years. And sort of like, I think this is one of about to be many articles and many examinations of what it's like to be a kid that has grown up with your entire life filmed on the internet. And I think we used to, like when we were young, we used to see this, or younger, we used to see this with like child stars and like, and it would be a lot about like their parents, but those were mostly just for kids who were on TV or movies. But this is like a different level to me, because this is like not about your like being a child professional and fame. It's about being like, you're making money off of like sharing your life, like your personal life.
I will say that it sort of hit me maybe like a few years ago when I noticed that there are children who I've watched since they were born and they're now like 10. And I'm like, it's actually really creepy that I remember like random vacations you went on when you were six, because like, I don't know you. I've never met you. I've never seen you in person. I shouldn't know this much about you and your life. And like, I shouldn't know that like you're friends with this other influencer's kid. Like, it's just so fucking creepy.
It's creepy. Yeah. No,
it's
it is creepy.
Really creepy. Yeah. I should not be able to identify 9-year-olds on the street. It's like, and not because of me, because if I'm watching this, there are like, not to make it really dark, but there are like pedophiles and people who are like, have way more sinister intentions than just like random observation of these children. It is like at best slightly creepy and at worst extremely dangerous.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I think about that even with like, obviously the influencers, and I think you get more on the influencers, but you also see that on social media. Like we have Portia's, which was like a Portia's bat mitzvah. She was like a tiny little girl when the show starts. I mean, you get less of them. It's not like,
well, the thing is that Portia was like filming. You know what I mean? We watched Portia at filming.
But she can't consent to that.
No, there's a consent form.
She can't, but Portia can't consent to having her depression during the pandemic aired on TV. Ali Shapiro, do you remember? But you can consent to something at 12 that you think is a good idea, that when once you're like 20, you're like, oh, I don't know if I like would have wanted my flight to a fat camp on national television.
I think Ali Shapiro is a way better example, because she was on it when New York was not, like, Real Housewives weren't popular. There weren't a lot of Housewives kids.
Right.
I mean, there were the OC kids, but I think hers is probably like a better example of like not knowing, because she was younger or similar age.
They're still like 13 is not really old enough to be like knowing yourself, I think. True. Enough to say, this is a good idea for my mental health, or this is not. Like, I don't think you have as much of a sense of self-identity as you would when you're an adult at 18 or 20 or
even
older
like
than
that.
That.
Too.
Yeah. And so that, I mean, the reality, they didn't even really, this article didn't even talk about reality stars, but that was something that I thought about. But yeah, it's like you have people sharing their kids and their issues their kids are going through. And they discuss like these YouTubers who their families are making a lot of money. They're getting nicer things. And then the kids are like sort of employees.
Yeah, I thought it was really sad. One of the kids was saying, like, when they got into high school and they said, like, they didn't want to be part of it anymore, their parents were like, well, we would have to, like, move out of, like, this nice house, and I'd have to go back to work, and we couldn't get as many nice things. And it's like, that is way too much to put on a child.
Right. Like, they didn't apply for this job.
Yeah, you didn't. Right. They didn't apply for the job. They didn't ask to be born. You know, like, it's not their job to set the lifestyle standard of their family. It's no child's job to do that. It's like, right. It's really, and it's greedy of the parents, because it's like, they want this.
Yeah. And then, I mean, sometimes I think that's an example, of course, of it being like pretty messed up, very like the link extremely easily. But then it got me thinking about like, where is the line? You know, because I don't necessarily think I would be a parent who would be like blurring out my child's face. That almost seems like a little self-important. Like,
yeah,
who wants to see your kid that bad anyway?
Right. It's like, just don't freaking photograph them at all, and like, don't cover their face. Like, and
right.
Don't show, or like, make it such like a not close-up photo that they're not super identified. Like,
yeah. And maybe
there's
ways
around it.
If I were like super, super famous, if I were like
Jennifer Aniston.
bad example, but like, if I were, I don't know, if I were the Jolie Pitt kids or, yeah. or something like that, like I could see again, like one picture, they could be stalked by a paparazzi. Like that's not happening to you or I.
Or like worse than a paparazzi, like a nefarious rando.
Right.
Like that's really more my concern. I actually think like, yeah, we have all these like obvious mental consent questions, but the actual danger is in a random person who right. like sees where your kid goes to school, has an obsession with the child. Like this is a real thing.
Right.
And you're kind of accepting that risk. I agree with you. I mean, it's really hard to say.
It's hard to draw the line of where it's okay and where it's not. And it got me thinking about this. Like, what is exploitative? What is a non-consensual? Because, I mean, no one can deny people with babies get more likes, get more engagement, get more like, there's, you know what? Like, even you and I are consumers of the Halloween baby content.
Yeah.
Like,
Valentine's Day babies were real cute, too.
People love that shit. And I think that, I mean, most people don't have like that many followers, and you and I don't have like a crazy, crazy amount of followers, but we have tens of thousands of followers. And I think it's kind of like,
you just don't know who's in the mix.
Yeah. And I think it's just kind of like a, you're kind of like, where would be the line be? We don't have that issue yet, but it did make me think like what would be okay versus what is potentially harmful? What is exploitative?
Well, I actually was speaking to someone we know who has kids like young, you know, 3, 5, 6 type ages. And she was saying that, like, she'll post, like, a nice picture of her kids on, like, their birthday or if they're on a vacation. But she's not going to show them, like, having a tantrum or, like, talking excessively or frequently. It's more about just, like, memorializing moments mm-hmm. that are cute and not really giving much away. Like, what are you really giving away if you're like, oh, here we were in Mexico a week ago? You know, it's not where it's like, you're not posting their school. You're not posting like your address. You're not posting like
their address.
People constantly post photos of their homes with the number on them. And it's very easy to figure out where their house is. People post like they'll show like their child's tag with like a teacher's name on it. Like there's things that people don't even think about that are like, if you care enough to look, those are clues. So it's like, or even if you're just like weird and curious, you know what I mean? Those are clues. So it's sort of like, I think that there's like a line. I also think there's a line with like age. Once a kid says like, I don't want this, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, if they say they don't want this, obviously very clear boundary being drawn, you shouldn't do it. But even if they are into it, even if they like it, like what are the implications, even if they like it and they want to perform for the camera or they're into that, that's not a decision that they're like, have the wits about them to make, or one day they'll look back and say, I wish that video wasn't out there of me, or I don't like, or this really did a number on my self-esteem now that I can see my mom's likes. And as I grew, I always thought about this with little influencer kids, like they're kind of like screwed either way. Like if they get cuter, then like their whole identity is about like the likes that they're getting for these cute pictures. And if they don't get cuter, then maybe they'll feel like bad about themselves, or that'll do its own, like they used to be cuter, like that'll do its own number. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what I would do if I think if I had kids and they really liked performing, I would take them to an acting school and I would take them, I would like be like, you really want to perform? Like this is what performing is. It's not like getting a bunch of hearts on your Instagram story. It's not
you'd
like
be a stage mom.
No, I would not. Honestly, I wouldn't be like, you have to do this, but I'd be like, this is actually what performing is.
Right.
Like, this isn't, you know, what you're doing is, you know, like this is actually, if you want to be a performer, I'll show you what it's like, you know, I'll like,
yeah,
I'll take, let's be a performer.
Take an acting class. Yeah.
That's what I think I would do, because it's like, okay, they obviously have some sort of like interest that they're trying to fulfill. And if it is just the attention, then that's its own question that I would have to answer. but if they like are really like, I love to perform and I want to show everyone my moves, I'd be like, okay, let's go show everyone your moves in a professional
and a recital
with contracts and like a class, right? Like, or a dance class, or like, you know, it's just take them, like there are real ways to do these things in life that aren't just for the phone. And I think that that's probably what I would maybe try to do. Like,
right.
We're not going to build you this career off of my profile. Like, let's get some technique going if you like right. it. And I then agree. Like, if you like it, then great. You really like it. And it isn't just for the likes.
Yeah. And I think, as you said before, like, if you have a good sense of like general intuition of protection and like understanding of what would upset a future person, you can probably pick and choose the moments that don't feel exploitative and are like, I doubt there's many people who are like, I don't want that picture of me at 4 on the family vacation out there to the world.
Right.
But like there's probably many who are like, I don't know if I want my toilet train self or this kind of stupid thing that I said that people are laughing at because they think it's cute, but I'm kind of embarrassed about it out on the internet. So I think as long as you're thoughtful about it, you're probably fine.
Also, like, kids can consent pretty early in their lives. Like, maybe it's like, maybe we don't take it as seriously when kids say like yes or no. But
well, I just don't think they know what the consequences are as much as...
Well, you know a no. You know a no, at least.
Right. A no, that's what I'm saying. The no is an easy, of course, no. But
I mean, maybe there already are these things, but I can imagine there being like classes taught by psychologists about this, like, or courses that parents can take that's like, when your kids are getting older, like, here are some like studies that have shown this is good or this is bad.
Well, here's the thing. Like we said, it used to just be child actors or musicians or whatever it was. And now there's so many more people who can be – like, how many influencers are there? So many more influencers than there are actors or
– I mean, they don't even need to be an influencer. It could just be that, like, the mom's in your high school, in your school.
It could just be that your mom is kind of annoying. On the internet, your mom is kind of annoying online.
Right. It could also just be like, oh, like, your mom's friends – and their daughters and their kids see it and like you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Like in front of your peers, literally.
Right. I'm sure it'll have like a whole – I'm sure it'll be so interesting culturally to see what it's like for families like growing up in an age where everything is online.
I mean, generally things are pretty bad. Like there was just a study that came out that like teenage girls are the most like depressed and depressed they've been ever. And like – so many, like a really high percentage have like considered, like have had suicidal ideation by a really young age. And it's just really, it really seems to be, I don't know if it's all social media, but
I mean, I hope, that's what I'm saying. I hope like the like health, mental, like mental health and stuff, that stuff like,
because sometimes
the culture moves faster than like the solutions, right? And so I'm sure like in the future, there will be some sort of maybe preventative or helpful tools to go through childhood in adolescence with that kind of thing. And maybe there already are. We're not in school. I don't know what they're telling kids or not telling kids.
I mean, it's still definitely a problem regardless of what solutions they have.
But I'm saying, I'm sure like, and there'll be like, maybe I would hope there'd be more of that as time goes on.
I'm sure.
So who should we send to the Cayman Islands? I assume you sent Sandoval and Raquel last week.
Yeah. We sent them. Who else did we talk about?
Tom Cruise. It's a little random.
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
We could send
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, I could. Look, I could get down with Gwyneth Paltrow having to sit in Delta Comfort Plus and sell timeshares. I would love to see her try to sell a timeshare.
Try finding organic, non-GMO bone broth in the Cayman Islands.
Gwyneth. Also, like, you might need a lot – if you're going to be hustling, you might need a little more energy than just, like, a cup of bone broth is going to provide.
That's true. Get this woman some Cheetos.
Yeah. Or just, like, I don't know, some protein. Have we heard of protein? Another thing we want to do. You know – okay. I feel like since we're sending people to the Cayman Islands, you know, celebrities, Delta Comfort Plus to sell timeshares, we should send – you know, a reviewer who does a really nice review to the Cayman Islands
virtually.
For vacation. Not literally.
We're not actually sending.
So we've decided that sometimes we read the reviews and they're so nice and they're such really, really, really nice ones that we want to give you a shout out. So this week we want to give a shout out to Cecilia92, who wrote the nicest review on Apple. So I think we send Cecilia92 to the Caymans for a 5-star vacation. What do you think?
I love that. She doesn't have to work at all and she's in first class, again, virtually.
Yeah, this is not a real.
We are not doing an actual giveaway. But I love that. Thank you so much. We love the reviews. As you know, if you've listened to any of the shows that I host, you know that I am obsessed with reading the reviews. I read every single one. Don't feel like any review you write is is not going red and internalized, and sometimes makes me feel bad and sometimes makes me feel good. So write them in. We love reading them. And if they're good, again, you'll get a shout out on this show.
To the Cayman Islands.
Yes.
Virtually.
Yes.
All right. That is our show today. Be sure to tune in on Monday for mine and Aileen's first recap of Succession. We'll be recapping season 3 to catch you all up on what happened. If you're not a watcher, you can get in on that. And then the first episode recap of season 4 will be the following Monday, which is after the show premieres. And that is it for our show today. Follow me at Sammy.
I'm at Jordana Abraham. And make sure you rate, review again, and follow the show on Apple or Spotify. Talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmakat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.